Center in New York, Kasthuba Das. Welcome to the show, and welcome to Sleep in Sunday. And we had daylight savings time, so it was almost as if Lord Krishna himself was saying, you know what? You've been working hard, sleep in yet an extra hour. So thank you, Lord Krishna, for that. And we have, Sunday is our special guest day. And I don't mean guests, because sometimes guests are pests. I mean special guests. And our special guest today is one of the special people in my life. His name is His Holiness Satchinandana Swami. And he's not from, when people say, well, where are you from? He's not from, I feel like when I have Maharaj around me, I don't feel like I'm from this world, because I feel like he is not from this world. I know his body took birth somewhere in Germany, but I don't know. I don't think anyone would call him German. They would just say he's just a transcendentalist. Maharaj, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And just to hear you speaking so joyfully and so invitingly is indicating that you really have a good community with a good dose of humor amongst you.
We have a sweet, sweet gang. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for these people on this Zoom community, I don't know where I would be. I think we subsist by the mercy of a very spiritual community. And if you're listening to this live on Facebook, we don't do it on Facebook every day, but we do it every day on Zoom or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. So you can just look up Wisdom of the Sages, or if you want to join us live and be part of this beautiful family of very cool people who want to upgrade their life, please email our assistant, our more than assistant. She's our producer. People said, you got to stop downgrading Mare and calling her an assistant. She's not an assistant. She's our producer.
Executive producer.
Executive producer. Royal executive producer. You can email
your servant,
her.
Ragu.
Email her at wisdomofthesages108@gmail.com, and you can join this little club of ours. Maharaj, where are you and how are you?
I'm at the moment here near Berlin, by the side of a lake. We have a little ashram called Gora Bhavan, just on the side of a lake. And how am I? I am, preparing myself to do what I do every year, that is to go really deep inside. I have just shaken off the COVID-19. I was at a place.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the virus is running away, but it was a breeze or an encounter with one's own vulnerability. And that's sometimes good, because one begins to appreciate the things more that one takes too often for granted. So yes, I'm near Berlin and I'm fine, and I'm looking very much forward to join you again and bathe in the association. I think we can feel when there is a community. Yes, we see now little pictures on the computer, but we feel the energy of the people despite the natural limitations of the computer media. And I'm beginning to feel enthusiastic, to sweat with life. Everything, I'm fine, thank you.
Well, you know, I want to talk about what you do during this sacred month. For those who are new to this, we've been talking about a sacred month that we have just entered with this full moon that was lighting up the entire sky last night. But I had a question for both you and Kasthuba, and maybe Kasthuba a little first, because I consider both of you much more evolved than me. But I will say my sad situation is when I get sick, even a little sick, even like a headache, the last thing I want to do is like study, chant, meditate. I just want to be like, all bets are off. I don't want to play anymore. I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to like medicate myself in any way possible. I want to turn on a television show or watch a movie. How do you, both of you, deal? Maybe Kasthuba, give us a little insight first, how you deal with it, and then Maharaj. I'm asking this question for me, because I suffer tremendously with this. How do you guys deal with it when you get sick? Please help me.
I'm like you, so I'm not going to be able to help you.
That's no help.
I'm exactly like you. When I get sick, I'm really out of it, you know. So I'm gonna just turn this over to Satchinanda Maharaj. I'm just as desperately in need of help as you are.
Yeah, I think we all know what you're speaking about, that this illness can just overwhelm us. It's like a wave which comes, boom, and sweeps us right from our feet. And then we turn topsy-turvy, and all we can think about is, oh, my health, my digestion doesn't work, oh no, and all these things. I think there is a little thing we might need to all practice. Miseries are going to come, and as you're getting older, young men, you get older, they will have more impact, these physical miseries, because your resilience wears down. So why not make a little, let us say, resilience build up, just like you make push-ups, where you build muscle strength. I think we all need to have something where we can build resilience, so that as life goes on, we are not totally overwhelmed. And another thing is, sometimes when you're ill, it's good to relax a little, but let your spirit not be, don't give up your spiritual search. Just do what is possible. Touch the eternity in the way you can, and that will give you strength. But if you make too much effort, that is such a, you know, such a, let us say, passionate approach. I must do this and this and this and this.
I beat myself up a little, Maharaj.
Yeah. So a little resilience test exercise is necessary. Do whatever is possible. And as you continue to do whatever is possible, you will build up more strength, and then soon you will be able to deal with death.
Good morning, everyone. That's coming too.
That's coming.
That's just like a stone throw away.
Yes.
That's how I'm feeling.
We need to prepare a little bit for these ultimate tests. And
did you get this, Maharaj? Did you get this thing where you can't taste your food anymore? A lot of people are claiming they get this when they're when they get COVID.
You can't taste the food, and you can't smell anything any longer. Like I had an essential oil, you know, which I put on my cushion to sleep nicely, lavender, and I rubbed it on my hand and tried to smell it. Nothing was there.
Were you congested, or it just didn't work?
No, didn't work. organ failure. I want to say this, let's take this as a good insight what is going to come. We hear at the moment of death, by and by, one after the other, the organs shut off. The last thing to go is your hearing. You can hear still what others talk about you. That's why it is important at the bed of a dying person to have someone who speaks spiritual things and chants. So this is a preparation, and we should, like I'm doing what I can, and I feel very happy. Not with quantity. I cannot have so much quantity of spiritual practice, but of quality. I think in our life, Raghunath and Kostuba, we are used to one concept of progress only, that is to move horizontally, to do more of this, do more of that, listen to more broadcasts, chant more rounds, do longer yoga practice. But what's about the vertical progress, where we go inside? And I think illness is a time when we can use the vertical direction and progress in there. It's often much more rewarding.
Well, you know, Kostuba, this is pretty horrible to admit, but the last time, whenever I get sick, my breathing cuts off my taste as well. And it's like, if there's a meal I want to eat, this is so sad, but it just showed me how, like, attached I am. I can't taste it. Like, if I put the food in my mouth, nothing, it won't taste anything, yet I eat it anyway. Is that sad? It makes you realize, like, well, man, this guy is so attached to the senses, he can't even taste the food and he's eating it. This is like, to me, it is Krishna holding up a mirror and saying, you silly boy, look how attached you are. Get over it. You can't even, I'm taking your taste away. You're still going to eat it? Yeah, I'm going to eat it. I'm hoping that I might get an inhale where I just taste that, you know, pad thai, vegan pad thai or something for a moment. This is all, this whole journey, Maharaj, is a lesson. And I want to say to everybody there that, Maharaj, you're a very good example of, and I think we need these in our life. We need, say, like, I want to do that. I want to be like this person. And you're one of these people I want to be like. I want to be like you, if that's okay with you. I want to be like you. And we need people to look up to inquire from, to ask questions to, and to see, because it's not like, you know, when you hear about some, like, Indian swami, it becomes very romantic. And it's as if they dropped from the spiritual world and have given light, and then they disappear into the spiritual world. But, you know, and I don't mean this in any offensive way, but I'm sure you've witnessed your transformation by applying all of this practices to your life. And what that does is it gives us, me, hope, as a dented can, that there, yeah, I can transform as well. And it's nice to see people who are way ahead on that path ahead of you, because it gives us hope to, like, okay, apply it. You want to get what I have? Just do what I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are very kind. You have always been very kind to me.
Did you witness your transformation? I mean, how do you... do you see much of a difference from when you first? How old were you when you got into bhakti, and do you witness that transformation? And it's sometimes hard to say when you're in it, but when you step back from then and now, give us some hope on this path for those struggling, just like me. I'm going to eat the food when I can't even taste it, and some of us are struggling with drugs or alcohol, or we can't let go of these things we're attached to. Can you give us some bright light, some hope?
Yeah, I think when we are in the process, we need to do sometimes something which we could call go in the distance and take the observer role. See, when you are yourself in the process of bhakti, you make advancements, but you don't notice it. It's almost like if you sit in an airplane and the airplane starts to go to the, what is it called? The, you know, please help me.
Lift off?
Yeah, the lift off, yes. The takeoff. You can't see it sometimes so easily, especially when there are winds and so on. But someone who is outside of the airplane, he may even lie on the takeoff, you know, next to the takeoff. And he will see immediately, aha, now it has lifted for 1 centimeter. The observer position helps us, in other words, to see what's going on. Therefore, the European painter Leonardo da Vinci said, from time to time, make some distance to your painting. See from a new perspective. because more can be taken in one glance, and you will notice where some harmony needs to be created and where some perspectives need to be improved. And I can only say in bhakti, it's when you are so involved in your life, then you are not able to really sometimes see what is going on, unless you learn this little technique to just step a little bit back and look upon you and your performance as if you are a stranger. In other words, get out of your head and see, and you will see amazing things. Like what I have seen in my life is, yes, I'm less disturbed. I can really see I have developed tolerance. I was young, I was foolish, and I was angry when I came to the path. A street fighting kid with 16.
No!
Yes! And now things have really changed. And people say this to me like a little while ago. All the old friends invited me to come to a reunion. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So they had heard, you will like it.
Stories.
They had heard stories about me that I had become a lama who was flying, and while he was levitating and flying over the Trans-Himalayan mountain range, he had an accident and he crashed. He was flying on a carpet, or I don't know if carpet, somehow he was flying, and boom, he had a crashing accident. So one of my...
Did you fly on a carpet? Is that a true story?
Only in my dreams.
Sometimes that happens.
And so I was coming into the restaurant, they had posted one of my friends at the entrance, and he ran into where everyone sat and alarmed them. He is coming. And I was entering into the restaurant, and everyone just dropped whatever they were speaking, whatever they were eating. They were just looking at the person about whom they had heard so many stories, like this is one of levitating. And we sat together, and they asked, of course, the question, has things changed for you? Have you changed? And I told them, the first thing which I noticed is I can really detach myself from my own mind. And that is, Raghunath and Kostuba and everyone on the call, if you can just switch off the mental chatter which goes on day and night, you are not good enough, you are not sufficiently intelligent, you are this and that. If you can stop the mental chatter, your life is peaceful. And what is already inherent in you shines forth much better than before.
Wow. That's good advice. And so you've really never had any contact with them since you got into bhakti? You like just cut relationships with all of your old past and your street fighting buddies?
I must say, because I did come from a very wealthy setup. They are all politicians and radio journalists. They are all highly posted. I thought in the beginning to better make a distance because I still had all these attachments which we all know so well about for this type of life. I made some change. I don't think that is advisable. But somehow or other, I wanted to reinvent myself and start a completely new life. But I can't see that's what monks typically do, but most of us on this path are family men and so on. They choose to take another way. Only when I'm now where I'm older, yeah, I have a lot of association with, you know, everyone can contact me and they asked me questions. I thought, let me first become a little bit stable before I can really help someone and have a good positive influence on them.
Well, the transformation is, well, I don't know, I've only known you since you were floating around on that carpet. But I have nothing to juxtapose your previous life with, but I've always felt you as a bright light. And I tell you, you're actually one of the first people I met, really, because I went right to India when I got into this, and I met you in India.
Yes.
That was a special day for me. And it was right about this time. So this might be my 32nd anniversary of my meeting you. It was on the appearance of Radhakund. That's where I met you.
Yes, and I do remember very much my encounters with you. You were always a very amiable person, so I think we talked nicely. Also, you're a person who is open. You don't hide behind huge masks. And I really appreciate it. But what I also could see, of course, in your first journey, it was as if two universes were clashing. Your own and everything you knew, the world of concepts, plans, desires, and then an entirely different world which held a complete new promise that you can become self-realized, you can become pacified inside, you can be self-realized. It was very, very... I saw it as, a big baby, so to say, in the birthday channel, and a big size baby, and then there was a tremendous labor pain in the situation, but you came out so nice that we are very happy to know you.
Well, there's two ways to go into a cold, icy pond or a cold shower. You either go just a little, put your foot in a little bit more, a little bit more, or you jump in. So I think most of the way people get into bhakti is they start to put their toes into it and slowly give up things that they don't like. I think you, me, and Kostuba, we jumped in, and the way you two jumped in, it was very like you jumped in and you just breathed, and I jumped in, but I screamed the whole way. While I was in there, I was still screaming. It was a different jump in.
Yeah, that's part of what he meant by the birth channel metaphor.
So we have one sacred month we're in, and you are famous for, you know, going into like an internal, I don't know if it's an isolation or not, but you take advantage of this sacred month. Can you just share the potency of this month? Why? Here's another question. Like, why? Why is this random month good? What if I did something yesterday, it's no good, but today it's magical? Like, explain the magic behind that, or if it can even be explained. And then what do you recommend for people like us who we don't even know what we're doing? How can we get the benefits of this magical month?
Thank you. First of all, let us think about how different times of the years have different qualities. Like the winter brings cold, and then when spring is there, the flowers are awakening on the trees, and all kinds of fragrances burst forth and then a symphony of colors comes as the whole nature is affected by spring. Then summer brings warmth. So all months have a certain quality which they bring. We in this world are used to understand the physical qualities of things, but there are also months who have a spiritual quality to them. It's almost as if an opening in the universe, in the astrology, happens, and something comes through this opening which you could call blessings. In fact, I think you must have already considered this in your life. There is this, every 12 years, there's this huge mela, this huge assembly in India, the Kumbh Mela, where yogis come from, who never actually leave their caves. They come down to the plains, they go to Allahabad at the bank of the Ganga, and they go into this, 20 million people are the assembly. And then they take their bath, because they know at a certain time there is an opening where they call it Amrita, the nectar of immortality, drips down, and they want to be sure that their head is there to get the thing. So yes, it is known all over, even different spiritual cultures, that various months have various physical qualities, but also spiritual qualities. And this month is called the month of Kartik. There is a presiding goddess who is administering everything. It's Srimati Radharani, Krishna's female counterpart, the divine goddess, and she is ready to give even the greatest blessings to someone who does something. The interesting thing is that it is not a matter of quantity. It is said, and maybe there's time later to discuss what you can do, but if you just offer a little lamp each evening to the picture of Krishna, then blessings are, you are flooded with blessings. More karma goes away from you than you can hope to get rid of by other spiritual practices, just by this process. And you feel inside some divine attraction, some wonderful attraction. It is just given to you. It's not that you do it and produce it on your own. It is just you're flooded with it.
I'm going to do if it's all right with you, I'm going to do a non-devotee. For people who are new to bhakti, you may not have quite understood. Offering a lamp does not mean like a lamp in your living room. It means a candle, a flame. Sometimes in India they do like a little ghee lamp, but if you have a little candle, go out and buy 30 candles. Yeah, go buy 30 candles. A package of tea candles, right? And you can offer that to a picture. And what does that represent, the offering of the flame, Maharaj? Because it's foreign in our culture.
Yes, the offering of a flame has a very, very nice effect. I can show you here. Here it is.
Although most of the people who listen to the show are others, that means they listen on podcasts, so they cannot see that you're holding a beautiful beeswax candle.
So we can see when the light is there, it destroys some darkness. Of course, this is not in utter darkness, this Zoom call, but it removes darkness. So when you have a little lamp like this and you offer it, it does destroy not just the physical darkness, it destroys the inner darkness. I think that is the darkness we should be most mindful of, the inner darkness, which is ignorance and ego and these attachments. So this is our going. It is, you will see, Raghunath and everyone who listens to this, human reason fails to exactly understand and analyze how such a small thing like a lamp is removing inner darkness. But if you do it and offer it to whatever is, I mean, I guess we don't have only Krishna Bhaktas here, to the divinity, there will be a response. Why there will be a response from above? Because of that particular constellation in the month of Kartik. Try it. You will, after 1 month, you will be Mr. and Mrs. Bliss.
Yeah. So we are, is the idea, we are offering this light, we are offering our ego, or we're offering it to our ego to bring light to our dark ego and dark mind, or I'm trying to figure out the connection between light, offering, and my own ego.
You are an analytical thinker. That's good. No, I'm saying...
I'm trying to get past the ritual into the... All right, what is this substantially doing? Yes. And then I can meditate on it while I'm doing it.
It is you, the person, the soul, is now going before God. You bring something with you, a light, and you offer the light. And as you do this, as you offer the light to him, something happens that is your false ego gets destroyed. There is a beautiful explanation in the Bhagavatam about it. It is said, if you decorate your face, automatically the image of your face in a mirror gets also decorated. So in the same way, if you are engaging in an activity of bhakti yoga, a divine connection which you establish, then you, the false self, or the compromised self, or the constructed self, that gets automatically solved and automatically purified and uplifted and all of that. So it's in the process of offering, which is something which you do from your spiritual position, that in that process light is spread and the benefit is felt in your ego, in your mind, in everything what you experience here.
That was beautiful. Thank you. One of my Kartik vows is, and this was prodded by Mara, she said, okay, every Tuesday and Thursday, Sweet Baby Krishna in class. Sweet Baby Krishna class. We have a Patreon members. If you'd like to join and support our podcast, we're community supported to make this boat float. You just go to patreon.com/wisdomofthesages and you make a monthly contribution. And for that, we have a whole online yoga school of workshops. But Tuesday and Thursday this month, every evening at 8 p.m. New York time, we'll give an hour class of Sweet Baby Krishna, which is all Krishna stories. So, Kostuba, maybe we should ask what he does. How does he? We want to see. Maybe we can spy on your spiritual practice, Mara, so we can follow in your footsteps.
I'm thinking this must be the first time in many, many years where you haven't been in Vrindavan, in Braja. Yeah. Is that true for this month?
Yes, correct. I've... I'm going since maybe 30 years or so for this month's tour, in this month's tour, Vrindavan, India. And there were a few exceptions. Like, I remember I once spent 1 month on an island in the Adriatic Sea, that's in the Mediterranean Sea. And but this was really, since a long time, the first time where I stayed in Europe. But do you know what?
What? What? Vrindavan
is not just a locality. It's not just a dot on the map in Uttar Pradesh in India. It's a spiritual place, and it is pervasive. It is everywhere, and it can be contacted through through the mind. You are ultimately where your mind is, and if you go in your mind to Vrindavan, then you are experiencing the magical touch of Vrindavan through your mind, and then in your whole life. It is something, and maybe it's a little bit too early. We are only a little bit into the month of Kartik, but I'm feeling a great happiness while I do my meditations in the morning, which bring me in my mind to Vrindavan. Yes, I really think, Kostuba and Raghunath, spiritual life is something which is not dependent on a locality, on a place. You can do your spiritual practice everywhere and in each situation, because you're contacting a higher, that is deeper dimension, that is absolutely there. There is a beautiful song which I like to sing during the month of Kartik. It goes like this: Oh, Krishna Murari, please abide in the temple of my heart, both day and night. Be there in my mind. Devotion, love, flower garlands, sandalwood, and a light. Please accept them, O delighter of the heart. In life or in death, I worship you with these offerings, O beautiful one, O enchanter of the heart. It's something you do in consciousness. A person in love is in love in America, he is in love in India, he is in love in New York even.
Thank you. Give us a little hope.
He is in love wherever he is, and when he travels, he remains in love. No? I have met our Raghunath in Germany on the stage with solid beat and singing nicely and jumping very energetically on the stage and he was a person in love, although he was in a stinky club in Berlin.
Very stinky. I preferred if you had COVID walking in there. Yes, you would have lost your sense of smell.
No problem.
Yeah, but it's true. That's the power. That's the power of this stuff that we're practicing. Is you can transform that. Just like we're using Zoom for anything material. You have a business meeting or a family reunion or whatever it is, but you can also have a portal that takes you to another place. Why is it that people go to India on pilgrimage then? Why do you go to India then if you can create it anywhere?
A very good question. There is all of this. But in spiritual life, you have to approach the truth from various perspectives because it is so complex or multi-layered. Multi-layered is the good English word for this. And just as one layer of spirituality is you can access it everywhere, it's all pervasive, it is everywhere, there is still another layer. And for this, I would like you all to open your mind to an interesting understanding. It's Vastu Shakti. Shakti, we all know, energy. And Vastu is an inherent energy of a thing. For instance, I'm sorry to belabor my little candle here. This fire has an inherent Shakti to burn. It is independent of if I believe it. For instance, I could be a child and don't know about it, or time. Time has an inherent Shakti to move. It is Vastu Shakti. In the same way, there are holy places which have an inherent Shakti that work when you touch these holy places. The Vastu Shakti of Vrindavan, which anyone can feel, is very quickly acting upon you. It liberates you from your old stuff, your old considerations. That's why you could jump into Radha Kund, although, I mean, for all of you who have not seen Raghunath, they're, it's really millions of people trying at the same time to get into the same pond, and they all bring their animals with them, their cows and everything. It's hilarious, you would say in English. And here's our Raghunath. Has a lot of knowledge of Western medicine and thinks, my God, what type of diseases will be lurking under the surface of this pond? But he jumps, ping, into the pond and is feeling a blissful person as he comes out with water dripping down every limb of his. So what happened when he went in? He was maybe full of doubts. When he jumped in and came out, he had a profound change of consciousness because he contacted the Vastu Shakti of the place. So yes, spirituality is everywhere, but still in a holy place, there is almost a life wire of and you step on it, and I think you can even tell stories to us about people in your travel groups whom you take. I think you are almost yearly you were visiting Vrindavan, and they are in Vrindavan and they have the most amazing breakthrough experiences, which take otherwise years to accomplish.
And sometimes it's the people that you don't even expect it. They're just sort of like, yeah, I'll go on a pilgrimage. I like handstands. I like down dog. I'll go on a pilgrimage. So there's a really big gaping ocean to cross before you walk into a holy place. Yet even they will get some very, very deep paradigm shift, like burst into tears, break into laughter, confess they never want to leave this place. How am I supposed to go back to my life? That happened. That really, really happens. People who don't know anything about anything, but they're led there and they have the good attitude. I think that's, maybe you want to talk about that, because you can go to India as a hitchhiker, as an adventurist, but there's different. You want to explain the attitude of a pilgrim, what it takes to see the magic?
Yes. attitude really can cover us and can free us, depending on what's the quality of it. And when you have a negative attitude, you seem to go in a downward leading spiral of negative emotions. One thing after the other happens, which is negative. You think, see, I said it. Whereas another has an open attitude, and he's going on an upward leading spiral of spiritual insights. I have never seen this so much happening in Vrindavan, this attitude thing. When someone is really, has, I think in English you can say, a bad attitude, and then one thing after the other happens. A monkey passes stool on their head.
Happens. Everybody's looking up like, does he mean that literally?
Yeah.
Yes, does.
I was talking with a good friend of mine, and all of a sudden I felt a pleasant drizzle. And I thought, wow, by my spiritual potency, a good rain cloud has assembled. Then I looked up, and it was a monkey who aimed his pipe at me, that was the drizzle. And then I became so angry. I still remember, this is too much, I thought, and I was reaching out for the stone. But then I see a sadhu coming by, and he says, "Here, I have umbrella." "I have umbrella." total different attitude.
It's really true. People fall apart also in these places.
Yeah.
They fall apart. There's like, I've had people who come and they're like, "I have to get out of here." And then I've had people come that say they never want to stay. Kostu, I'm thinking of one of our Zoomers or one of our others. She was a regular Zoomer, Lindsay Scott, who we love, who just had a baby.
Yeah.
And but she also, I met her at a class in Texas, just a regular yoga class. And she's like, "Okay, I want to go on pilgrimage with you." And she had a life-transforming experience. And then from that day on, she like listened to the show live, which means in Texas you got to get up 1 or 2 hours earlier, so she's up at like 4 in the morning listening. Right?
Texas. She's never been the same.
And now she's got this beautiful transcendental baby. So it can happen. And what's the bad attitude? You want to explain the bad attitude we shouldn't have?
I think as we come into any situation, we bring our baggage with us, and we watch it through the lens of our conditioning, our ego, and so on. And in Vrindavan, I want to give you a very, very sad example of the bad attitude. There was one of my... I can't say a friend, but close person, my age, 65 and so on. He had agreed with the rickshaw driver on a certain price. So when the ride was over, he gets down from the rickshaw, and the rickshaw driver wants to have double the amount. And now that was a minimal amount. I think it was at that time, they agreed on 25 rupees. He wanted 50 rupees, which is not much. And
it's in a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. So,
not even, right?
Yeah, so he thought, on principle, I'm from Australia. We agreed on a price before the ride. This is what I'm giving to you. There is no bargaining about fixed prices. But the man was not satisfied and pestered him. And then this person lost his nerve, He lost his temper, and he gave him with all his strengths. He was beating him in his face, and blood was coming out of the nose. And the moment he did it, he could understand that was a bad attitude. He was immediately also feeling something which we all as human beings have. The reactions to this, he felt they were approaching. The subtle form of the consequence was, and he immediately, he became so sorry. He took a 100-rupee note, and he put it on the settle, you know, of the rickshaw.
The seat, yeah.
Seat, yes, thank you. Seat of the rickshaw, and the man just looked at him, and he did not take it. Then he put another 100-rupee note. Now there were 200 rupees. The man looked at him, and he just shocked. He just shook his head like this a little bit, and he wiped the money off the seat and took his rickshaw and went away. And for this now, just everything went wrong in his life. He divorced from his wife out of the blue. I guess divorces never happen out of the blue, but I'm not an expert in this. He could, for 10 years, he tried to go to Vrindavan, but he could not get to Vrindavan. It's said at a holy place, even the smallest spurta things are increased. The results are
exaggerated. Increased. Yeah.
But even the when you do really something really bad, like beating someone and drawing blood from his nose, then that gets also multiplied, and the effect, and that he experienced. There are 10 rules what to avoid, and one is to show violence towards any of the residents. That is not good. Sometimes when you are a little overly reactive, it's good to put a cautionary thing in your mind so that you are avoiding or watching your words and watching thoughts is not always possible, but at least words and activities. Yeah.
We bring these bad habits that we have in the material world that are almost not only acceptable, but sometimes admired. To be tough and to stick up for yourself is considered, wow, no one's going to get over on this guy. And then you bring these, like, sometimes very low-brow habits into sacred circles. Oh, and we cause a whole domino effect of bad, bad reactions. So that is a great memory. Now, is this month, this sacred month, I've heard that everything we do is magnified. All the positive spiritual things we do is magnified by 1,000. Is that true for the bad things that we do? Is that magnified by 1,000?
I have never heard about this. I mean, yeah. No, don't. You know, spiritual life is not like, you are watched like the Gestapo is watching you, you know, or not like that. In bhakti, we know that the deities of bhakti want you to excel, and there is a discussion in one work called Ujjvala Nirmoni, and one devotee asked another devotee, "Why are you surrendering your life to Krishna?" And the devotee says, "You know something about Krishna? That he takes the least good thing and magnifies it many times, and he tolerates the most intolerable offenses with a smile. And he shows great compassion to those who are suffering. That's why I have decided to devote my life to Krishna. That is a discussion which is given there.
I'm sorry, Maharaj. Continue.
Yes. If you so desire, first of all, it's so nice to everyone. I'm enjoying it so much with your in your good association and to see these whom I know since many years. Raghunath and Kostuba gives so much joy from my heart. And you have, by the way, greetings, but I will say privately the greetings. But here I would really like to give a doable list. But here I see David Cameron. Are you the important producer who produced Avatar?
I don't think he is, but we like him anyway. Yeah. Is that David Cameron? Is that his name, or is it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he produced Avatar. But welcome to the show, David. We love you anyway.
I hope I didn't inconvenience you, but I thought for a moment. Cameron?
But he's a very serious listener of the show, and his beautiful glory is seen from his dedication to hearing sacred literature. Yeah. Matter of fact, all these people that are listening on Zoom right now, these guys like listen. They're up at 5 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday. Wow. And if anybody out there is listening to this on Facebook, please join us. We do this every day. Just email us at wisdomofthesages108@gmail.com. And David, if you did actually produce Avatar, my son wants your autograph. Just put it to dear Raghunath, and then I'll give it to him. Okay, but we have time for about one more question. Kostuba, can you ask a question to Maharaj? Because I've been doing a lot of the talking. It's my tendency is to blah 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 blah, and your answers are so beautiful. And Kostuba, I want to hear from you.
Well, I was enjoying your talking, Raghunath.
You were kind.
But, well, maybe just because we're going into the month of, we've entered now the month of Kartik, and you've shared one idea about offering a lamp. And I was going to ask you for maybe other simple ideas, but before I do that, because there's one real important resource that's there for everyone. And that is that Satchinandan Swami, is it daily that you're doing stuff online?
Yes.
It's related to Kartik. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yes. I'm, since a few years, putting onto my Facebook Kartik Inspirations, where I try to, just out of my own yogi's cell or hermit room, give inspirations how to best use the time. And this time, the whole subject is really very much about going and contacting the Shakti, the energy of Vrindavan in our mind, because we can't go there physically. It's a little 5 minute long things, sometimes 4 minutes,
and they can be found on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe what we
can, but also SoundCloud and places like that, I believe too. Right?
Yeah, I'm not so good in computer science. SoundCloud, I remember SoundCloud.
Yeah,
I suggest that maybe Gokrishna, you can request that the information is sent to Kostuba. And then you can just...
We'll share it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. If they went to your website, would they find that information there?
It's in the chat box. The information you will find in the chat box, I hear at the moment.
Okay, but there are many listeners that won't be able to see that, so we'll also...
Well, you can go to Facebook, Satchinandan Swami Facebook.
S-A-C-I. Satchinandan, N-A-N-D-A-N, Swami.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so there you're sharing every day?
Every day. Absolutely stable.
Okay. This is the beauty of the information. The information age has a lot of problems with it, but there is a beauty of it too. If you know the right information to look for, it can save your life, even in the darkest of times. So I'm very glad to be connected with you, Mikash.
I would like to give now an answer to Kostuba. Kostuba, you pulled the information really out of my mind, because I really wanted to offer this to all of you I think it will do you very good, what you can do. Okay. So it is said in the ancient scriptures, really, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are about 200 pages full, that by just offering a light in the evening, you can sing maybe the mantras which you know, and you just offer the light, and that is something wonderful. Try to do it regularly. No? Not one day yes, then second day no. Even if you are on the New York tube station, you can all of a sudden have your like this. Why not? Why not? Be regular. It is like, you know, when you want to boil water in a kettle, you can't just supply electricity for a few minutes and then stop again and then again supply it. It should be regular. Then the water will come to the boiling point. Then the next thing is, which I really would like to say, is start the day with a spiritual input. And you are already doing this with your wisdom of the sages. There is a lot of spiritual input. I have seen, and it's a really a spiritual nourishment program. It's like dripping intravenously, what is the English word? Spiritual nourishment is coming. So that is, try to lift your consciousness, in other words, from the, let us say, normal level of consciousness to a higher level. I have one monk who says every morning I wake up as an atheist. So it means that we can do something in the morning that uplifts our consciousness. I'm sorry. One moment. So don't worry, it's the internet doesn't carry
if there is
any virus left. Don't shrink back. There is no problem. So then I would say see that you can read some spiritual scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, or other wisdom texts, because in some ways our consciousness is like a creeper. When our creeper-like consciousness has something to hold on, an inspiration, it can grow high. But if the consciousness has nothing to hold on, it will stay very much on the ground, like these creepers. So increase your reading of wisdom texts and so on. Another thing which is now getting quite devotional is recite various prayers. You know, prayer is a way where you make a contact from your heart, not your mind. In prayer, it's very important that you go from your mind into your heart. It is some more genuine expression, and you can read various prayers which Raghunath and Kostuba can recommend to you, and And then try on the positive side, just to be a little bit more compassionate, try to do things for the benefit of others, and finished. I would not like to overburden you with many more. I do, of course. I'm now a monk since 50 years, so therefore I will do a few specialized things, but it is not necessary to derive the benefit of a karti.
Okay. Now, what if people are listening for the first day and they missed yesterday? Can they jump right in today?
Yeah. No. See, the spiritual train never leaves you like a normal train, where you miss it and then it continues from the platform and you see it and you are left behind crying, oh, I missed my train. You can never. There's always a possibility to turn around, even at the very moment of the last moments in life. Ajamil, Dhritarashtra, you can always turn around. The door is always open, wide open, and it has your name on it. Come, whoever you are.
Maharaj, thank you so much. We are super grateful. What a great way to start my Sunday. Thank you so much. We're all very grateful here in our Zoom group and all the others listening out there. If you're listening to on Facebook, you can join us every day. Just email